I said, hey, welcome to the Man Cave Happy Hour. I said, hey, welcome to the Man Cave Happy Hour. We're gonna drink a fine whiskey and smoke a really fine cigar.
It is time. Oh, it is time for Happy Hour. It is the Man Cave Happy Hour. Whiskey, cigars, spirits, the stories that go along with it. I'm Jamie Flanagan.
I'm Matt Fox, trying to get into the camera.
And yes. I'm still August Gitchlag, and I don't need to be on camera.
Oh, well, another day.
Are.
Another day in the palatial podcast, your voice, Man Cave Suite.
Just don't know what day it is today. I'm used to doing this on Mondays.
It's been like that all week long, where I've been going, what is today?
Who am I?
What's going on? Yeah. What am I doing?
Well, so, I like doing this on Thursdays because it's my Friday. One of my two Fridays I get each week.
It's one of your two Fridays. That's like second breakfast.
That's right.
Yeah, those of you on audio, you can't see this, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's two middle fingers going up right against my big smirk.
Today in school, I emailed somebody. It's like, all right, have a great weekend. You know, I'm glad things went well. And it's like, I had no intention of going to work tomorrow. And then they're like, dude, it's Thursday. And I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, I was doing the math.
How did that happen?
I got a big whiteboard calendar in my office, and I was doing the math because I always take Punchki Day off.
Start
scheduling for that, gentlemen. Yep. And the day before is President's Day, and we're off anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday off.
That's like a trifecta.
Using one
fun.
Vacation day.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's, yeah, gotta love being a government worker. You know?
That's brilliant.
I was, kind of.
Sort of. They were a banker. Yeah, banker's hours.
I had the government holidays, though. That's the thing.
That's true.
So the Man Cave, we do a lot of bourbon. We do a lot of whiskey.
A lot of spirits. A lot of heavy-duty stuff.
We get into the spirits.
Those tequilas. Barrel-aged tequilas.
And Augie was like, you know what we should do? We should do something a little different. And I'm like, heck yeah.
I didn't think we were quite sophisticated enough for a wine tasting here.
No, we are.
So,
we are. We will.
I went a different route.
Have we done wine? No, we did. I think we paired a cigar with wine one point. But yeah, so it's baby steps. We'll move towards
I'm still dreading the cigar lounge episodes because I can't stand cigars.
Well, so welcome to the Man Cave, asshole.
There. I know, right?
but we were, you suggested... You're like, I know some fellas who have mead.
They're wholly decent fellas, too.
Honestly.
Yeah, there's your technical difficulties, Matt.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so when I think mead, I think of walking around the Renaissance Festival and looking at all these people walking around drinking mead.
Thought was white wine with Sprite in it.
Yeah.
That's what I always thought it was.
And that's probably what it is at the Renaissance.
Yeah, it was the mead I remember at the
Renaissance. It is in some places.
Yeah. It is.
So that's where when I think of mead, that's where my brain goes. But I'm hoping that you fellows can change my brain and change my idea around of mead itself.
I think that'll happen.
So, Augie, how do we say the name of the product? Is it Triaxial?
Triaxial.
Well, let's let the
three
gentlemen.
And then, Augie, introduce our
well,
our guests
let
today.
Them introduce themselves. But we have here some good friends of mine. I can say they're good friends. One of them taught me how to make wine, as a matter of fact. So right to my right is Mr. Barry Melso.
Hi, Barry.
We got Barry. Hi, and we got Mike and Paul.
Mike and Paul. And you got Triaxial.
Triaxial.
Meadsmith.
Lots of vowels
Triaxial.
In there.
Triaxial Meadsmith.
It's an extra syllable that I don't always pronounce.
And so Triaxial Meadsmith, that's you guys. You are the, is it tri because there's three of you? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. And then who's the axle?
Well, there's three axles. Paul is really the brains of this operation. Barry's kind of the brawn, and I guess I'm just the eye candy.
Yeah, you're the eye candy. Yeah.
All right. So I was like, I had a lot of trepidation over the.
At least we know where our place. Yeah. Well,
I know what it's like being the eye candy of the three.
All right. So Meadsmiths, and these are Triaxial Meads. We have an array here.
We brought a bunch.
You guys. I was like, they're corked. So I'm glad they have corkscrews. I do actually have one in my bag.
So tell us
one right there on the table.
What is the history of mead? I know there is it's like one of the oldest fermented spirits that's historically recorded. Correct?
Yeah. So how long is this podcast?
Arguably, yes.
No one
knows for sure, but arguably it's the oldest fermented beverage.
Right. The theory is that, you know, back in prehistoric times, of course, early humans were able to harvest honey, and it gets mixed with water, wild yeasts in the air, sort of fermented a little bit, make it a little fizzy.
Next thing you know,
some
Igor's,
of the cavemen are drinking this and saying, you know what, that's not bad. Yeah. Feeling a little bueno. And so they keep setting it out. Of course, they don't know anything about yeast, you know, microbiology or anything. Sure. They just know if I set this here in this air under, you know, maybe under this temperature, good things happen.
And
then obviously as technology came into being all the way up through the 1800s, when we started having microscopes and things like that, we learn about yeast and they start refining it. But it's, definitely arguably the world's oldest alcoholic beverage.
Hmm.
So people argue beer, but you have to do things.
So what is the pure mead then? It's just simply basic, your basic honey?
Honey, yeast, and water.
Yeast and water.
That's all that goes in there.
Okay.
And that's, you know, that's the what we call a traditional mead. And when you hear about the ancient Greeks talking about, you know, the gods sitting on Mount Olympus drinking ambrosia, they're talking about mead. You know, the Vikings in their long hauls. Everybody has this kind of idea in their head that
pirates.
That meads were these frothy, you know, crude beverages. Yeah.
In a stein, right?
Yeah, and they're actually quite refined.
A wooden stein, yeah.
Quite refined. Out drinking them out of a horn or something like that.
All right, don't be afraid to get right up on that.
I will try to remember to do that.
Yeah. You guys are good. That one is...
this one?
Yeah. Yep, you need to be a little closer to it.
You have that... you tend to want to look at the person you're talking to.
Right.
Fair enough.
My dad would be yelling at me. Look,
another thing about mead is that you have to remember, and this goes the same for early beer, early wine.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, the water would kill you.
Oh yeah,
right.
And so when they, you know, they did fermentation, they didn't know it was fermentation and what that was. They just knew how to get the product, and that's what they would drink. You know, small beer, mead, you know, wine, whatever. That was far safer for them.
Yeah. Hmm. So Augie said that you helped him make wine, right? So what came first, the wine or the meads in your adventure? What led you to making meads? Did you do wine first, or did you jump in with the meads?
I think it was the beer.
Yeah, these guys were beer guys.
I think all three of us, it was beer. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Did some home brewing with beers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then how early did you start brewing with beers at home?
12, 13?
It was like 1998, 1999, I think, is when I first brewed my first batch, probably. Something like that, yeah. So it's been a while for me.
Right on. And then, so how about you? How early did you kick off?
Barry and I brewed our first batch beer together around 2001.
Around there, yeah.
All right,
give or take.
And then what led to the wine, and then ultimately mead and the mead project?
It's not that really big of a thought or an inspiration. It was, well, what else can we ferment?
Okay.
And that's kind of how it goes.
We joined a homebrew club for Barry and I. We joined a homebrew club, and then mead sort of started becoming popular. People started kind of flirting with it where we were. Our homebrew club sponsor made some mead. And then... this is where Paul comes into the picture for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was I helped start Bee Nectar. So, you know, when I was homebrewing, I was dabbling here and there. I didn't do a lot. And then Brad Allhofer and I were friends, and we found out independently of each other we were homebrewing. Oh. So we started homebrewing together. Hmm. And then just kind of led into mead, and he won some medals like nationally. And then him and his wife wanted to start Bee Nectar, and then they wanted help, so I helped them. And then we just kind of took that whole idea and ran with it.
So how did the three of you come together?
Well, I think that, you know, like when Bee Nectar opened a meadery, the homebrewers that were into mead were like, holy crap.
Yeah, Nerd Central.
Right. anyone that made mead came to hang out, and like, you know, we were really open to that, and we got to be friends with a lot of the guys that came through. Yeah. And then
they would get volunteers that, you know, because they were very small operation back then.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
So they'd need volunteers to maybe help them bottle and things like that. And
okay.
Because we're like, yeah, sure, I'll come like work 6 hours for one bottle of mead. Happily.
I've done it at Coonan's many times.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good mead.
I think that's called payola. Is that what
that's called? No.
The barter system.
The barter system. I'm just playing.
But there's
that's as old as mead.
A community, you know, it comes together like a community and building and sharing and crafting things and then sharing what you've come up with. I love that. So when did you say, we're going to make this a brand?
Yeah.
And we're going to spend some money on labels and yeah. When did this become a brand?
Custom corks?
Well, I kind of already knew how to do everything. Yeah. I kind of already knew how to do everything from, you know, my experience at B-Nectar. I was director of operations there.
Okay.
So, you know, I had an opportunity with, I had found out that Sean Nixon and his wife were interested in having us like come in there to like kind of make them there under their license to help them pay their overhead.
Okay.
And it's something interesting. They were interested in it because they thought they were cool. And so I approached these guys and I said, hey, are you guys interested in this? And they said, yeah.
And we'd been kicking and stuff around already.
Oh,
we got to do something one day.
Sure.
And
we ultimately got off our keisters and did it.
Got an opportunity to do something. And so we have an arrangement with them. So we're making it's made at Fourth Coast Cider Works. And it's, okay. I mean, it is.
Where is Fourth Coast Cider Works?
So their production facility is on Lapeer Road, just north of where the Palace used to be.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right there on M24.
Yeah.
1 mile north.
Yeah.
And then their tasting room is actually at Canterbury Village.
Oh.
It's actually a lovely place to go have a
It's really great. Yeah. Well, it's in the old stables, right? Yeah. So it's got a lot of history, so it's really cool in there. And like it's literally like you park and it's right there, like right by that big giant church. It's right next to it.
Then you go across the street and play some bocce ball. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then there's there's Yates Cider Mill right next door too. So if you want donuts, you can go over there and get your donuts and stuff.
Releases there and they had that whole beer garden going out back and they had all kinds of stuff. Canterbury Village is still kinda cool.
It's a nice little
I do miss that restaurant.
They do events all the time, you know. I mean, they do quite a few events. They do like the food truck thing. Mm-hmm. They have this dinosaur stroll, which I took my daughter to, and that was crazy.
It's not as far away as it sounds like it is to us Eastsiders, you know.
Yeah.
It really doesn't take that long.
But
to get
when I was a kid, that was up north.
Oh, it was basically up north. It basically was.
Fourth Coast is worth a visit, though.
You said you have a daughter. Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She's about to turn 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she loved it. She like, I mean, it was. She's like on the dinosaurs. So she's like going crazy. So, they opened their doors to us, and we came up with an agreement, and it's going pretty well. We're able to make our products there, and we have another product line called Vivid Grove Cellars. We can get into here a little bit later.
Yeah,
that we're making there as well. So
there's a whole array of things in front of us,
and a lot of colors, and a lot of things that really don't look like honey. Yeah. So
we brought a good variety for you, so you can maybe try a little. You know,
I see
a few different
amber,
types.
And I see plum, and I see honey. And
I'd like to open it up with these two novices here.
Yeah,
don't go to your tastings and your openings and don't have a case of this at home. What is the most traditional mead that they could try?
Well, either one of the trads right there.
Well, and grab one and open it up.
That's the thing. That's
Let's start
the,
with the blueberry blossom.
Yeah, that's a good call. Okay.
That's the thing about the Man Cave Happy Hour. It's we don't know anything. That Matt and I were like, we love spirits, we like cigars, but we don't know anything about it. We want to learn. You know, we want to talk to people that do it. And get a little bit educated and hopefully share some ideas along the way. So I don't know anything about a mead.
Mead is actually like the national drink of Poland. So it's really popular in that part of Europe.
So we're going international.
They're all going to be sweet, right? But they're not. We like to make the meads really well balanced too. So, I mean, they're sweet. There's sweetness, but they're balanced in a way that it drinks somewhat like port. Out of all these, that one probably drinks like port a little bit more than most.
I do enjoy a good port every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Now you're singing
my song. And so what we're opening now is a traditional mead. So that is, like Barry said, it's honey, it's water, fermented with yeast, and that is it. All of our traditionals are single varietal meads. So the one we're about to drink is made from blueberry blossoms, which are those little tiny white flowers.
Right.
So
but that's
it's
where
not
the honey
taste like blueberry.
From. Like all the it's bees be go to blueberry blossoms.
That is
right.
So there is the subtlety difference there. That's different kinds of honey from different kinds of specific flowers that change the flavor of the mead, not artificial flavoring.
And by the way, guys, this is every bit of 14% alcohol. So,
and these are a little
only 14%.
Only.
Yeah, we're holding back.
Less than the beers they usually make.
There's that. But these are a little colder than we'd like them to be, really. But you'll notice as they warm up, they'll open up and you'll...
Okay, yeah, because it's... people is like, why do they put that liquor in a freeze thing? It's because they're horrible.
Yeah.
And cold takes away 60% of the flavor. So
in these cups, a quick little... Kind of grasp it around
I would
suggest is give it a good aroma test. Right?
So I'm putting my nose in it.
That's the way to do it.
And I get the blueberry almost right off the hit.
Yeah, it's definitely like a fruity honey.
Yeah.
So there's no fruit in this. The honey is literally harvested just from the flowers of the fruit bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And the honey itself is, it has got a little bit of a backbone of fruitiness to it. Mm-hmm. This other traditional is made with a completely different type of honey, and it's a completely different flavor. It's kind of crazy how different honeys have different flavors.
Without any artificial additions to it.
Nothing.
Because August said something earlier about, you know, the flowers, you know, that, you know, for the blueberry feel from the blueberry flowers, because that's what this is. This actually is taking me back to Cuca Lake in New York. We were actually doing blueberry picking this past summer, and this is kind of reminiscent of what I was smelling when I was in the blueberry patch itself.
So you should get that floral aromatic.
Yeah.
How long does it take to ferment, and then is there any aging that happens with these at all?
All of them are aged at least a few months.
Okay. In what?
Right now, we're using a combination of different fermenters. Sometimes wood, but we don't have really a lot of space right now.
Yep.
So we're just kind of aging them in the fermenters.
Okay.
So I think we really want to get into barrel aging. We did release a barrel aged. It was actually aged in a Valentine gin barrel.
Mm, really?
And nice. It was a passion fruit mead.
That was something
mead,
to behold.
And that mead is up there for my favorites of all the ones that we've released. It's amazing. So.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't get an opportunity to do this because my wife, Colleen, she's not into the sweets at all. I'm into the sweeter cocktails, the sweeter drinks.
Cosmos.
She sees me making an old fashioned, and she's pouring sugar in a thing. She's like, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm making a cocktail." She's like, "Bah!" You know. So I had purchased a bottle of mead. And I had it at the house, and she was like, "Oh, look, there's a white wine in the fridge." And she wasn't looking. She cracked it, and she was like, "Good Lord, what are you drinking?" And I'm like, "I bought a mead, honey." And
it's like, still not as sweet as some of the store-bought Moscatos you can grab.
I mean, those are much sweeter. Generally speaking, you know,
those are wine.
I don't get an opportunity to do it, but I like this.
It's a different viscosity, and
that's what Paul talked about. Our meads are, you know, we really strive to make very balanced meads. And when we say balanced, we mean the mouthfeel, that viscosity. Yeah. It's not too syrupy, but it's not thin. Acidity. All of our meads have acidity to them.
Yeah.
Some more than others, you know, and the amount of acidity might be based on the amount of fruit. We have a blackcurrant mead here that has a lot of acidity. It's one of these here. There you go.
I'm just looking at the legs. You know, we're using little plastic cups, but the legs on this, the oils in the mead, is that something that's prominent in meads, is the oil part?
You get a lot of leggy meads, yeah, because we have a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the alcohol is typically elevated, you know, to 14. Sometimes, I mean, I've seen meads as high as 18%. But, I think that all comes together to give you that kind of that viscous kind of beverage that's going to have the legs in the glass. And it tends to hang in the glass with the aroma for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Even after you're done drinking it, the glass will still be hanging around with the aroma.
Fair.
So what I'm getting out of this is it's a little more, what I'm going to say, natural. It's like a little more raw. If there was a fruit in here, I would say that the rinds or the husks or were in it. It's a natural taste, an earthy, not quite earthy,
I would describe it as some earthiness.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That's a word we use a lot.
All right.
I think a lot of traditional meads get an earthiness to them.
All right.
Honey, if you ferment honey all the way out to dry, like a dry white wine,
mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised. The flavor is a lot different than you think it would be. You're pretty much just left with flowers, right? I mean,
right.
It's like, so it's earthy. It just is. It just is that way.
Like a flower blossom of some sort and an earthy mix is what I get out of it.
What I wish you had, what I wish we had with us would be some of the actual honey we use. So you could compare the raw honey to the fermented beverage version.
Oh, so blueberry blossom traditional mead.
And that's one of the things of a good mead, from what I'm understanding, is that it took me back to a place. Right. You know, it took me back to when I was blueberry picking, and that's where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That is just a telltale sign of a very good spirit, if you will. Mm-hmm.
So
right?
but you said this was
a high compliment.
Thank you.
Honey.
Matt's a very sensitive guy.
You said this was
shut up. You don't know me.
So am I.
So in here you said
we'll hug it out later.
You said this is just What is in this?
Just honey, water, and yeast.
Honey, water, and yeast. So why are you calling it blueberry blossom traditional mead?
It's a blueberry blossom honey. Like
oh, it's a blueberry blossom.
So the bees literally flew to blueberry blossoms.
We did this 20 minutes ago.
This one is...
Welcome to the podcast, Jamie.
I'm catching up. Okay.
I thought that's what that
was. So how do you know?
For.
I mean, you're like, hey, Steve the bee. How do you know Steve the bee? It's like, Steve. No, seriously, Steve. Today... I need you to go to the blueberries and hit the blueberry blossoms because we're doing the blueberry blossoms.
Well, how do you
control that?
Make sure that? Steve understands that by dropping his house right in the middle of the blueberry patch.
Okay.
Yeah, so monoculture is the reason that it's available.
All right.
And you'll see, if you keep your eyes open, you'll see semis going down the road. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
with bee boxes on the back of them. You're like, wait a minute, are those beehives? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're taking them to different places to
pollinate.
Right. I'll give you an example here. This other mead we brought is meadow foam honey. Meadow foam grows in Oregon. This honey, if you taste the raw honey, it tastes like super vanilla-y marshmallows. If marshmallows were natural and grew on trees, that's what it would taste like.
Yeah,
mead that looks almost identical to the one you're drinking will taste radically different.
Oh, totally different, yeah.
I would suggest maybe we open this one and
get
don't threaten us again.
Yeah, don't crack that without a good time.
So going back to how
we have
know.
Orange blossom honey. We have
how do you know?
Raspberry
it's like a thermos.
Honey.
It's like it's hot.
Very
it's cold.
Different.
How does it know? How does it?
Well, a bee can fly 5 miles in any direction from the hive, right? So I mean, you really have to have monoculture for that. Now, there's no true definition of like these varietal honeys as far as it's not regulated really. So you're kind of just going off the word of the beekeeper.
Okay.
But the thing is, with monoculture,
with
monoculture, you can basically say that 80% of what the bees are collecting are from this flower.
Okay.
Now, with meadow foam's a little different. Meadow foam, the reason they know that is meadow foam is because at that time of year, it's pretty much the only thing blooming.
Fair enough.
Now, there's going to be some wildflowers mixed in, but for the most part, it's meadow foam.
All right.
But that gives you some have finished your blueberry blossom, I would recommend pouring another glass so you can really side by side those. Get a feel
you'll notice the difference.
The
right
difference
away.
The flavor difference between varietal honeys can be the difference between an IPA, a Pilsner, a Saison, and a Stout.
The nose I think I got some not like
completely
grass,
different.
Like tall grass, but not like lawn grass, like
but
tall
again, there's
meadow
no
grass.
Other ingredients.
I already know
the
that
honey,
this will taste
that is
very different
that's
from
insane.
The blueberry.
Just from the aroma?
Yeah, just from the aroma itself. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a little saffron on there almost. I don't know why.
My wife said she thought it kind of had saffron to it.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right.
See, I still get like a baking spice kind of thing.
A little bit, yeah.
Wow.
See, that's sweeter on the back end for me.
This is a sweeter
mead.
This
is a sweeter mead.
Yeah. It's actually sweeter.
This one finished with more residual sugar.
And it's
very
different.
All kinds of stuff happening there on your tongue.
Yeah, this one's super complex. It's one of my favorite traditionals we've made. We love making traditional meads just because you can see how honey is so much different from one to another. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grassy, very grassy. Mm-hmm. Not bad grassy, but then like long, tall meadow grass. It's,
there you go.
The meadow meets
vision.
Like the hills are alive with the sound of bees.
I got that vision.
Sure.
I bet you don't have conversations like this with whiskey, do you?
not yet. Depends on who's here.
Anyway, I'll tell you something. A nice whiskey and maybe like a mead chaser like this is really nice. Because you get that, you get all those really nice bourbon flavors.
You can
flavors,
make that happen.
And that little sweetness,
Yeah, that's...
Just saying.
I could just see that, you said with a mead chaser.
Yeah, just something to sort of...
A little sidecar
of mead, I would have... For me, I'd like a nice, good pour of a really nice bourbon, and then I'll take a mead like this in a small little cup and just kind of sip it, alternate it.
I like that idea.
Can I get a makers with a mead back? Is that what it's called?
You can get whatever you
makers
want.
Of the mead.
Well, think about it. Whiskey manufacturers are putting honey in them. Of course, a lot of them are whiskeys that need to be hidden with honey, but that's another episode.
Well, definitely concur with that.
So what's the shelf life on something like this once it's open?
Well, these corks are high-quality corks.
They have the triaxial name on the corks, too.
Oh, yeah.
Branded.
Yeah. We had to go and make
they don't
sure
F around.
No.
So, but the, I mean, I would say the shelf life on these is in excess of 10 years.
Okay,
with the cork.
Wow. Yeah. With the cork in it. Okay, good.
Stored properly and everything.
Open,
right. Now, after you open it, I mean, I actually forgot about one for like a almost maybe like a week and a half, and it still tasted pretty good. I mean, you know, when you look at like vermouth and stuff like that, you know, you don't want it sitting around too long either. This probably is a little bit less time than that after it's open, but I mean, like if you buy a
dude,
couple,
Grandma
bottles,
had the same bottle of vermouth on the bar for 20 years. What are you talking about?
It had to taste terrible.
I know.
It had to taste terrible.
It's like my
it does say
the
it refrigerate when open, but it's been sitting down there.
No. I've recorked our meads and stuck them in the refrigerator and come back to them 3-4 weeks later. And are they at 100% of what they were when you drink it?
Probably.
But I would I would argue 90.
Yeah,
right.
Like it's still very
good. 60%
of this is still goddamn delicious.
You said, and then you said stored properly. What is a proper way to store meat?
Just like wine, you know, like in your cellar in the basement where it's cool like all the time.
Right.
You know, not a lot of light
on its side.
Dark light
on the side. Yeah, exactly.
Store it in a cool, dry place.
And like Paul said, these are really high quality corks. It's real cork. It's not those corks where it's like compressed cork, but it's just got the real
quirky
cork top and the bottom.
Right.
It's real cork all the way through. And so, yeah, you gotta treat it good.
And these will all improve with age from when they're packaged. I'd say most of the ones we make probably will peak it in flavor sometime around between 3 and 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And then like that Parallax has a lot of tannin and acidity. That, I mean, I don't know. Sky's the limit. I want to hold on to a couple bottles of that and open them in like 5-6 years and see what
happens. I was always told that white wines, those flavors won't change over time like a red will. Is it the same with the lighter versus the? The honey is just a different. It's a different fruit juice.
That has
different
to do with
juice.
Tannins and certain things in the grape juice that don't exist in the meads.
Okay.
A traditional mead really is not much different than these fruited meads in terms of what's in them, other than the fruit juice. But in terms of aging, that is, it's gonna. Traditional meads. That you know, I've had a few turn on me too, but like homebrew meads that I made years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I opened a bee nectar mead recently that was 7-8 years old, and it was drinking beautifully. And I opened a different one, and part of it might have been my fault for bad storage on it, and it was still decent, but had fallen off.
So do you reject the term honey wine when people ask about meads?
It's
that's
honey
okay.
Wine.
I use it often, actually.
It's probably a better descriptor.
Well, because
most
like,
folks don't
the
know
question
what mead
we're
is.
Most often asked when new people show up is, well, what is mead, right? I don't know what mead is. I've heard of it, right? And honey wine is the best descriptor you can give. It's wine made with honey instead of grape juice. So.
Yeah.
Sure. So it's fair.
So
we might,
question
we might
for
work
you.
Our way into calling it mead.
So these are 350 or 375 milliliters.
Stop
bottles.
It, Jamie.
Oh, is that where you're
stealing
going?
You're stealing my
the
question.
The last caller stole my thunder. Matthew, did you notice the size of that bottle?
I did, because I'm looking at what you
tell
have
me
on
about
the,
table. The size, Matthew.
You really want to? You want right,
to go
down
ahead.
This
no,
road?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm 12. Go ahead.
No, so
I'm wearing the Toys R Us shirt.
I don't want to grow up. I'm 12 years old. 375 milliliter bottle. That's what the blueberry is in.
They're right?
They're all 375.
These are all 375s?
Yeah, yeah. It's just those are
different brands of bottles.
I'll tell you the reason. I'll tell you the reason in a bit after your question.
Yeah. Right. So you know, packaging for mead, is this a traditional packaging bottle size for mead? Or
you'll see it a lot. I think that. I mean, how often do you see ice wine in a 750?
Right.
yeah. Never.
Fair.
I mean, it's just a better format for mead. Now that being said. You know, I've thrown around the idea of maybe we make a little bit less high-end mead that's in a 750, but I don't know. I just like this format. It's a good size to share. Typically, meads aren't really poured much bigger than a 3-ounce pour.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, it's, me personally, I think 375 is a great format. 500 is good.
Okay.
Something you don't see as often, but
I don't know. Depends on how often you're going to drink it, right? Because if you're at a 500 milliliter bottle, you have to go back to it. A lot more often.
How often you got to drink it all in a sitting, right?
Right.
Yeah. 375 to 500, whatever it takes.
Whatever.
You know.
Right. And meat is also, meat is not cheap to make. Good quality meads out there can run in, you know, anywhere from $23 for a 375 up to, you know, you can find them out in stores just in this area from say, $22-$23 up through right. $40-$45.
And right. you are no on the problem. Shelves here.
Yeah. We're, we're gonna get, we're going to get to that.
Because, but the price, you know, keeping it at $375 yeah. keeps the price down to 20s and 30s.
Sure.
Imagine a $750, you're looking at $50 bottles.
They do keep, but you don't want a Magnum to have to deal with and drink. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in my house, it would go. But it's a night in the hot tub, and that's that for that. You know, but
they are great for passing around at a party.
Yes.
I mean, people are always like, whoa, what the?
And it's cool because, like, it breaks up. A lot of times, like, people are just drinking, like, IPAs or something, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it just kind of breaks it up, you know? It's, like, something mm-hmm. it's something cool and different to try, and it's they're great for that kind of thing. They really are.
But the Meadow one, that is, like, just a palate cleanser almost.
Well, the beauty of it is the fact that there's no artificial flavors in those. Right. They are straight, just the honey sourced.
Yeah. Our meats don't have anything artificial, never
on
will.
On the monofloral,
never
will. So.
Well, that's to say, like, it's not a fruited mead. Not so saying like artificial, there's no additional flavor.
Right.
Is what I'm saying.
Different bottles. No adjuncts.
Yeah. The reason artificial was the wrong term. I apologize. to my craftsman friends.
With,
I apologize.
We only use like the whole fruit. And,
right. Yes.
With a bourbon and a whiskey, you know, it's you brew it. It's in the barrel.
It's aged.
It goes in the bottle. Game over. That's it. You know, that bottle is that bottle. Now, in 20 years from now, it's not like, oh, I got this 20-year-old bottle of Canadian Club out of my parents'
basement.
It's
got a tax stamp on it.
Don't get any dust in my glass when you pour it.
How much better is this going to be? It's like, well...
good luck.
Yeah, pretty much the only thing it has to go for it at that point is if it's rare or not, right?
Or even... none of them are. But, none of those Canadian Clubs.
It's just collector crap then.
I had one. But I was like, oh, just it. And I'm like, I was searching. I'm like, it's nothing.
All right, we got to pick another one out here. So we have four more choices.
But these, it living in the bottle does a little something.
It does a little
for
something.
These guys.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely mature.
That's great.
Mike, which one are we picking?
What do you think?
Let's go dark.
We're going to go dark at this point. Is this the poached, by the way?
That's the poached.
This is the poached. I think we go with the blueberry.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice.
Blueberry.
It's silky smooth.
This is a mead.
Why don't we read? I'd like to read that if I could. The description on the back of the blue, the blurb on the back of the Blue Note. I know the guy that wrote it. It's quite impressive.
Oh,
he's gonna have to tilt.
Are there little?
Read it before we open it.
So the blueberry blossom.
Do not drink if you're pregnant. Are considering impregnation. I don't. What's so fascinating about that?
Other side.
Oh, the other side. Okay.
Wow. Right,
so they got blurb, and these do have blurbs on the side of them.
They do.
We call them the liner notes.
The Blue Note, jazz's flex that takes a tone from ordinary to dreamland.
Dreamland.
An ensemble of wild blueberries provides. I don't have my readers. The rich berry flavor.
You're old.
For the mead, a sip of smooth fruit delights. A breath reveals the rose petal nuance that takes our Blue Note up the register.
Wow, you can read, Augie. Wow, I'm impressed.
Mellow Madagascar vanilla, the hip backbeat to our melody of fruit and honey. Take five and dig this mead. With our favorite cool cat.
Ah, nice.
August Gitchlag.
And these are all Maine wild blueberries, so these aren't your typical grocery store blueberries.
Yeah, these are the low bush berries. And the cool thing about those is that when, you know, like you get the blueberries from the store, inside is actually like a yellowish color almost.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Those blueberries they're dark all the way through.
So where's the blue food?
They've been sitting for a while on the branch itself.
This is a different variety
found the blue
of blueberry.
Food.
Okay. Yeah.
These are Maine wild blueberries.
Where's fresh, the blue food?
Fresh cup.
Guys, I think this one, and they have one called 321 Jam, right?
Yeah.
I absolutely love them.
Yeah,
this one's near and dear to my heart because I had a part in this.
321 Let's Jam is blackberry.
This one in particular?
With heirloom rhubarb.
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
Ooh, I got the blueberry right off the nose.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Take one down.
It'll let you know it's there.
I have a college buddy who was the head of cocoa and vanilla exportation for Madagascar.
Really?
And we were just shooting the crap one night at Coonan's, and Barry goes, yeah, you know, we're going to do some stuff with vanilla. I go, I got a vanilla guy. He's like, in Madagascar. He wasn't in Madagascar. He was in Lansing because he left to become the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Michigan.
Holy shit.
And so I messaged him right there. He goes, what do you need? Where do you want me to send it? Venmo me. We'll do this. And bang, bag of vanilla beans shows up, from Madagascar. And that is what's in this product.
Yeah, Harry Weaver just chucked in. He said, Harry. Hey.
Hi, Harry.
He
thanks.
Said, Harry.
Lil Koi is the goat. Is yeah.
Lil Koi is that passion fruit mead aged in gin.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah.
I think I might have one at home. I have like four bottles of your stuff
left. I think I sadly only have one left.
Yeah. Lil Koi is hard to get now.
Yeah.
The nose on the blueberry that we're diving into is very similar to the original one, the standard mead. For me, with a little bit more.
Yeah,
I want to dump it on vanilla ice cream.
Well, we used
it's more traditional blueberry.
The base honey is also blueberry blossom honey.
Fair play.
So we did use the same base honey for this as we did the blueberry blossom.
That's resting.
So how did this? How did this? And these seems like because it's volume one, volume two. Is this a musical in some way? And you said a jam. And
I mean, we all
this is
like
Paul's
music,
idea.
So the monofloral thing, I was like, I wanted to come up with a way to just like say, hey, these are all these traditionals we're doing. And so we came up with the monofloral series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. I just thought it would be cool to just have a new volume, like every time we do a new, because there's so many different honeys out there. There's literally like, finding new ones.
And we've just scratched the surface, you know, with three or four of them. You know?
Sure.
It's hundreds.
So for a run of, you know, you're going to do the monofloral, right? And you're going to do the mead foam blossom. How much honey, you know, do you have to get? I mean, you know, how big of a order are you?
We're buying about, by pails right now.
How many? By the
pails. Like they're 5 gallon pails.
Right. Okay.
We're doing about 240 bottle runs, give or take 20, you know, depending on, you know, how the recipe turns out and that. And
so a pail, how many pails for a bottle run?
So you're talking about anywhere from 10 to 15 gallons of honey.
Yeah.
So three pails?
Two to three, yeah.
They mix with water and then other ingredients.
Sure.
And then the amount of fruit there.
So three pails of honey.
That's, like four
that's
pounds
a lot of honey,
gallon.
Though. Right. If you think honey
we're
and
talking,
hives and you pull them out,
it's heavy.
It's like.
It's thick.
For this mead you're drinking now, we're talking about 150 pounds of honey and at least 100 pounds of the blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
Greg checked in. He asked why nobody was cursing. Barry?
Oh, shit.
Well, I got to get a little deeper into these. You know?
There was some swearing.
I will release the Irishman within.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, I was a little confused by that. I was like, is Barry here?
Yeah. I just was surprised we were doing something live. I was like, there's going to be mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
Mistakes have been.
There's no mistakes in the Man Cave Happy Hour.
No,
there
isn't.
We just keep rolling with it.
Just happy accidents.
Happy accidents.
happy
Put in
tree.
A little tree.
But I have to be That's honest it. With you, fellas, with this one. That we're just drinking on with the blueberry. I'm like, nah, this is Welch's grape juice. It tastes that good.
Yeah, it's really smooth.
It'll catch up. What's the alcohol times. Percentage on this?
About 14.
Yeah.
Are they 14. All 14?
I mean,
generally close to?
Our first monofloral was 13.
Okay.
We have a Sizer, which is an apple honey wine. That one actually got up to 15. So, I mean, it's everyone's a little different, but we're always like in that range, you know, 13 to 15. Yeah. Right
sure.
There, you know, so.
We're not making billy clubs to, you know, hit somebody over the head with, really.
Right.
So we're coming from the bourbon world.
But the
where
bottles
like,
are heavy in a pinch.
Right.
They're doing this much of it, and it's you know, 110
right.
proof.
I pulled a bottle out the other day, and August cussed me out, and he called it demon liquid or something. It was like
devil juice.
Devil. Yeah, it was like 120 proof.
Yeah,
and he was like
that barrel pick stuff. It just doesn't. No,
wasn't that
you.
The 1920?
It was a 1792. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was. We were live at the whiskey festival at that whiskey. Yeah.
Hand me that devil juice.
That's the first thing you have all night. It just wrecks your mouth.
I got this fun bottle from A&B Liquor. Let's try this. And he looked at it. He's like. This,
oh, I swore on the I swore on the podcast.
Devil something. You called it a devil. It was
devil piss or something. It was just if it had been like the fifth thing I had that day, it would not have hit me in the
right.
You know,
but with the sweetness and the flavors, the higher alcohol content would mess it up. Could you go higher than 14, 13, 14?
You were saying you've seen 17, 18?
Yeah.
If you manipulated
a lot of
it
depends on the yeast. There's different types of yeast that you can use, and some have higher alcohol tolerances than others.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It just so happens that a lot of the ones we picked happen to fall in that 14%.
Okay.
Now the yeast I use on the Sizer actually can I've gotten that to go to 18%, and actually that one did go up quite a bit, but I back sweetened it, so it brought the alcohol down a little bit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So you know, it's definitely, and backsweeting just means that you're just adding, in that case, I added more honey and apple juice to it.
Backsweeting?
Apple cider.
Sweetening.
Backsweeting?
Yeah, we do it in wine, too.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just breaking it down a
because
little bit.
Because what will happen is you'll ferment too much sugar out, and it just isn't sweet enough to really support the flavors you're trying to get.
Okay.
Like, I think, personally, you know, all these years, for a long time, I tried to make drier meads because I wanted them drier. But I'm here to tell you after, like, I don't know how many hundreds of batches I've done commercially, that it's really hard to get a mead to taste good with a lower sugar content.
Really?
And to be honest with you, the people that are, like, really into this kind of stuff don't want it. They just don't buy it.
I was going to say, who is your target audience? Who are the mead drinkers of America?
I mean, there's just mead drinkers. There's just people that are just into meads.
There's the people with the elf ears at the
subsets of that.
Yeah. A lot of cosplayers.
I mean, there is some of that, you know. I mean, but you know, it's definitely not the prevalent kind of feel. No. You know, it's a lot of people that are like that are just into like interesting things, like that they're looking for something different. Those are the kind of people that gravitate towards mead.
Mm-hmm.
Although I had some friends come down that, you know, they were like, you know, we weren't really sure we were going to like these because we don't typically like meads, but we love your meads. And that's always a good compliment because we do feel like we try to make meads that are approachable for people. Because there are meads out there that are like really, really sweet. And, you know, it gets to that point where it's like, okay, now it's just cloying and it's like hard to drink. And, you know, if you're battling through a glass, I mean, I don't know. Personally, that's not enjoyable to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to make our meads so that you're enjoying it and you want another glass, you know.
Sure.
And we also want to make sure everybody shows up. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody in that bottle.
Right.
So if you're going to taste the blueberry, you're going to get the honey. And if you throw too much fruit in there, you just, you know, you'll
lose the vanilla. You lose the marshmallow flavor that you're hoping for out of that one flavor.
Going back to your question about who is our target audience.
Target audience, yeah.
Like I said, there are mead communities out there. There are folks that you know, are just into craft beer. Homebrewers are really, mead's huge in the homebrewing community now, so mm-hmm. we get a lot of homebrewers, people we know, people we don't know, show up for that. I call them the mead bros, and I am a recovering mead bro myself, so this is not an insult, but I mean, they're out there trading certain meads that are hard to come by. Like they're out there trading them like bourbon.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Because you're not a mead bro, because you're a mead don.
Yeah, that's right. There are meads out there. I have some meads in my basement right now that I've got from, you know, there's a meadery out in Chicago called Pips, and they have a couple different meads that people are trading for an equal value of $600-$700 right now.
Wow. Really? On a 350 or a 500 milliliter bottle?
375s.
Yep. Wow.
So I know people who have traded bottles of mead for super high end bourbons, for super rare beer releases.
Right. Well, let's get in while we're there. What is the suggested retail value of the triaxial meads when people find them out and about? What are they going to find when they're trying to purchase these?
They're ranging from 28 to 30 on the shelf, depending on the retailer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we were going to talk about that because, August, you brought this up earlier. He's like, you guys are on the shelves. Where can folks find you guys, you know, out in the community?
The best thing to do is go to our website because I think we're in like 25 accounts. So it would take a lot for me to like list them all.
Fair enough.
Is it Michigan? Are you outside of Michigan, Midwest? Where
Michigan.
We
could distribute out of Michigan, but we just don't have the volume to do so right now.
That's milking a lot of bees, man.
We do direct ship though. So if you go on our website, then you can go and order. We don't ship to every state, but
that's triaxialmeads.com. I repeat, triaxialmeads.com.
And they have a Facebook page and they have events that they launch, and that's how I know. I just get the alerts and I show up at their events and I buy five or six bottles and yeah.
That'll be linked in the
100%. We've shipped meads to Texas, Florida, North Carolina, a couple others I can't remember.
So, but milking the bees, that's really difficult, right?
Milking bees? Yeah, milking. I'd imagine that'd be very difficult.
Yeah, that's not quite how it's
done.
That's up to the queen to do that.
They get an attitude.
All right, so, but you should, the direct shipping, which is, COVID was a colossal pain in the backside and killed several millions of people. But it did open up commerce for a lot of spirits in a different way that was allowed before, and they haven't closed those doors. Are you afraid that they might close doors on you that have been opened here?
For us, it's not an issue because you've always been able to ship wine.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It's really wine. Spirits and beer.
Okay.
That kind of opened up to wine levels.
Sure. Right.
We're classified legally as a wine, so we're good. We can ship to 37 states, and the 13 we can't ship to. Actually, 37 including DC. So the 14 we can't ship to. Because those states aren't allowing wine in.
Sure.
You can imagine there are states like Utah, for example. Right.
Yeah. Coffee's against the rules.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's Utah. What do you want?
Right. So, we'll ship you some mead.
All right.
So let me ask the question, because we have the bottles of mead, but then I'm also seeing two cans that say Vivid Grove Cellars on them. So what are those? Because I see sangria spirits on them too.
Ooh.
Spritz.
Yep. Yes. Spritz. Okay. Spritz. Well, I thought it.
So this is an idea Mike and I were throwing around, like, God, what was that?
Four years ago at this point.
Yeah, and before
we started Triaxial.
This was when I had my Brewworks brand, which we won't get into today, but we were doing a sampling, and Mike helped me that day, and he's like, man, what if we did these like carbonated lower alcohol sangrias or something? And I was like, dude, that sounds amazing.
So take a mead and turn it into a sangria.
Heavy, thick, viscous, and really kind of gross.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, so
it's called Zoshimoko's. Right?
So we actually literally like...
I got the recipe.
We actually literally made test batches. We made like 5-gallon test batches, and we passed them out to friends and stuff, and literally everyone was going crazy over it.
We got a lot of feedback.
Yep. And I mean, honestly, like, you know, it took a long time for us to get it like finally finished, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I think we're going to do really well with it. Ooh. So we launched it last summer. And we're doing self-distribution, so it's a little bit challenging to get all the retailers and stuff, but I really want to focus on restaurants this year.
Okay.
You know, especially places by lakes and stuff like that. Like, I mean, look at that. Like, who doesn't want to take that on their boat?
That's gorgeous, yeah.
Honestly.
Well, that's dangerous coming out of a cooler.
Yeah.
ice water. It's like,
What's the alcohol content?
These are only 6, so these are... Yep. These are meant to like session, you know, to have a few.
As Barry would say, you can drink a few of them and not feel dumb.
And you know,
I feel dumb all the time.
And the beauty of these things is, you know, they're all wine and fruit. You know, there's no bullshit in these things. Ooh.
You swore, Barry.
Organically, too. He didn't force it. It just kind of naturally came out.
Yeah. Greg, it happened. I got to tell you.
It's one of my fave words, too. Anyway, but it's good stuff. It's all...
You can have it out of the can.
It's all good stuff.
And the one you're drinking now is what we call our tropical peach. So it's a Michigan white wine base. And as peach is the, you know, sort of your main player, obviously. It's got some mango, lemon, lime, orange, and ginger. A little touch of ginger at the end.
I like that. Yeah. I'm susceptible to suggestions, but.
The power of persuasion compels you.
I am getting the ginger.
This is
you're a little bit.
This stuff is dating, and it happens a long time. He actually is a ginger. He's just too old now.
A recovering ginger, yes.
Fair enough. Matured ginger.
But it is mead one of the properties in here?
Nope.
This is wine.
These are just the wines.
Yep. It's a spritz, right?
This is a big left turn for me.
Okay,
it's just another product. Like I said, we had this idea, and we just finally got to the point where.
We're
in a position where we could try to get it out there, and it's also and it's in 20-25 stores, something like that.
Okay.
In Michigan only,
Yeah.
All the meads and the sangrias, basically Southeast Michigan, and then a few stores around Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm. So if we're here in Southfield right now at the beautiful Podcast Your Voice Studios, what's the prominent market we could get this at? Like Royal Oak, somewhere like that?
Holiday Market.
Yeah, Holiday Market.
Holiday Market?
There you go.
Oh, hey.
Our listener base is probably Holiday Market people.
Yeah.
Right down the street from my house. Here we go.
Right.
There's a few on the west side, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been a long day. I can't remember all the retailers off the top of my head right now.
VividGroveSellers.com.
You know, like,
find us.
Yeah. I know you want to be in Kroger and Meyer and all that, but it's, you know, right now.
Holiday Market's a good deal.
Yeah, you can't make enough. Right, you can't
produce it. Holiday Market around here is, you know, the bigger market that has it.
Yeah,
Ann Arbor, Arbor Farms. Okay. She does well with it there.
Zatuna's Liquor in Rochester.
And everybody loves Zatuna's.
Neighbor's Shop in Berkeley.
Oh, yeah, the Neighbor Shop. That's a cool little store if you've never been there.
That's a great little store.
Which one was that?
The Neighbor Shop. It's in downtown Berkeley.
Oh, nice.
It's just a cool, it's a really
about
cool.
About 1 mile
like,
from here.
That's right here. That's right down the street.
She's got a little kitchen. She's got some really good food. And then
great pizzas.
You know, just a really cool little shop. Yeah, she's got a lot of local stuff there.
Love it.
So, but yeah, I mean, again, if you go to our website, like if you go to triaxial.com, you'll find Vivid Grove as well. Yep. And these can be bought online as well.
Yep. Triaxialmead.com.
Triaxialmeads.com. Yep. And then vividgrovecellars.com.
Underscore hashtag.
As long as you go to one, I've got a link to the other. So, and you can Google it. Dot, dot. We're indexed on Google. So,
but if you start searching Triaxial Mead, you'll come across it. And again, all the links will be in the
show notes,
descriptions, and show notes, and what have you.
This other,
like and subscribe.
This other sangria looks and smells like the sangria that I was expecting. This is a
ready sangria. Yeah.
Wow, this one is a red wine base, of course, Michigan red wine based, and it's got blackberry, cherry, and then some citrus.
Can you
lemon lime.
Divulge no cherry, what no cherry Michigan raspberry. Wine you're in cahoots with?
It's a Michigan wine.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, I could see this in some ice and with the oranges floating in it, and it's just like, whoa.
Because it's on the it's on the same parallel, you know, up in on the wine side.
It's
of Michigan.
It's somewhere here
in the hand,
somewhere in the hand,
somewhere below the bridge,
somewhere in the hand below the bridge. All right,
it's troll wine.
One of the really cool things about this particular product.
Are we trolls to those people up there?
Yeah, we are trolls.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pretty much are. Yeah,
one of the things about this product, though, is we try to do rule of thumb tasting. Mm. You know, with people like, do you usually drink white wine? Do you usually drink red wine?
Oh.
And so our white wine drinkers will drink the red one and go, well, I like that one better. So it.
And vice versa.
And absolutely. And so people make different decisions based on these things.
Well, I mean, you know, we've jumped on a few different tastes here today. I've had some water in between. The serious, nice red wine sweet tart thing happening with this. It's sweet. It's tart. Yeah, a nice sweet tart.
It's that I'm balance enjoying that we're going to keep talking about over and over. Yep. That's...
I thoroughly enjoy. I see where you're coming from, Augie, with you know, an orange slice, what have you. This is dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Such a great way.
Yeah, it says brunch all day. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like Augie said, too, ice cold on a boat.
Out of a cooler of ice. I've done that.
There's no guarantee my pants will be on at the end of the day. Well, just saying.
Oh, God, I thought I was going to say podcast.
Yeah. Oh no, it was a nice tart.
Fortunately, we don't have a cooler of ice here, fortunately. So
it was yeah.
It's all right.
There was shrinkage.
So these are retailing around $11, $12 for a four-pack.
Four-pack?
Yeah.
All right. So that's on par with the other specialty things out there.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
say even yeah. it's even maybe a touch under par
yeah.
for some of them, of especially because prices just keep going up every
day. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But for some of the canned wines and stuff, we are right in the middle of the price points.
Yeah. That is brilliant. I really enjoyed this.
Isn't that fantastic? It's like, it really is delicious.
You like it? You like it in the can?
Such a loaded question.
Good night, everybody.
I was trying. I was trying.
You guys weren't worried about me.
I was trying.
Hey, everybody likes big cans.
There you go.
So, Harry actually checked in and he said, you know, they're nice with a drop of a little bit of gin.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh,
toss
yeah.
Some
so,
gin
hey,
in
Harry, so this is
why
gin
I love
is my
Harry
secret
Weaver.
Weapon when I make just sangria at home.
Yeah.
So, yes,
oh, really?
I agree with the gin. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about gin after we're done here this evening.
Really, really, really.
Yep. So when I was still working at Bee Nectar, we were making this product called Wildberry Pimus. So it was like a mead made with grapes, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it had berries in it. So it was a lot like this flavor profile. So, but that was like 14%. So what I would do is I'd take a couple bottles of that, gin.
What are you doing, August?
And then a bunch of fruit. And it was amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, you're going to mix them?
I've mixed them. It's good.
There you go.
This is an.
You
this
tend
is
to need
open.
About.
I don't think I've ever had that gin.
We've had that.
If you're going to mix them, I would recommend about 2-to-1 peach to the berry.
No, this is. That's.
See, we need to talk about gin, Paul. After we're done with this,
okay.
I thought
I do like the gin.
I wanted to be here. Yeah.
We'll have to talk about.
Thank
gin.
You for
actually,
save.
A friend of the man cave. It's a Highclere Castle gin.
Ooh.
And okay. it comes right out of England from Highclere Castle itself.
Nice. The device. It's all
what are you doing, dude?
There's ice. If you need ice,
oh,
ice.
Fair enough.
This is such a sad little cup.
It's a sad little cup. But
it is.
That's
is.
Not quite the red. That's a red Solo on its own cup, yes.
It looks like it caught fire or something.
Yeah, but.
That's those dollar store
when it
cups.
Comes, when it comes to gin, we have stories to tell.
Oh, we do.
Bubbly. Oh, yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm intrigued by the stories.
Yeah.
But I think that
could be a whole
little
podcast.
Bit of gin in a sangria is definitely, it is a really nice addition.
Hmm.
I want it all. I'm enjoying
it.
The berry
guys,
citrus.
I have more cans.
Sangria.
We have more. It's okay.
You don't have to squeeze it out of the aluminum.
Seriously, I'm enjoying the hell out of this. The canned beverages are very, very nice.
Well, yes. I mean, so you know, when we set out to make these, like, we want them to be extremely accessible, and cans are the most accessible package because, I mean, you don't want to take glass in your boat. You just don't. And
sure.
And I mean, most beaches don't even allow glass.
Nope.
So,
sure fits in your golf bag easier,
sure
I'll tell you
does.
That.
Yeah. Yep, it's easier to hide, right? So
you can hit 36 and not make a mess, you know.
Yeah. It is these are good golf beverages.
Let's leave my first three holes out of this.
I don't golf.
Well, Augie, are we covering everything that we need to?
I think we're covering everything we want to cover.
Do you guys have any other questions about the meads?
Yeah, no.
There's still three unopened bottles. Of course, right. I got questions.
Well, there's three half-drank bottles here.
Right.
That has to be consumed before we leave here.
But you were talking about the one that's still not the dark-colored, but the lighter-colored, and the darkest of the lighter-colored. And that was what's that fellow called there?
This one,
at least
poached.
Tell us what you got here.
Poached. So poached. This is a spiced pear melomel. So melomel is a mead made with fruit.
Okay.
So this is made with Bartlett pears. And
see, I love
poached,
a good pear.
Poached pears.
Poached, right? Yeah. So the whole idea is like poached pears.
So that you stole them.
Hunted them illegally.
Man,
Jamie.
That was a stretch. Yeah. it was like some serious gymnastics. But no. So the cool thing about this one is I tried something new with it, which I wasn't quite. Pear is really hard to get the flavor to come out on.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so when it was done fermenting, I was not happy with the level of pear flavor I was getting, and I didn't want to use concentrate or anything like that.
Right.
So I thought. I had some dry pears, so I was like, I'm just going to age a little bit on some dry pears for a couple of days and see what it tastes like, and it was really cool. And so that's what I did with this, and it has a much deeper pear flavor from it. Hmm. It's really interesting. So it's like something new I'd never tried before, and I actually want to do more of it to like see what happens.
So you took the dry, you had the mead going.
Yeah, I fermented it all the way out, right? Yeah. And then we back sweetened it because it did dry out a little bit more. So we came back with more honey, but there's no way to like add pear juice.
The pear flavor is so subtle to begin with.
Right, exactly. Right. That was the problem. And I mean, I kept fermenting more pears. I kept throwing more pears in. Barry's like, how many more pears are you gonna? I'm like, dude, I need more pears because he was getting them for me down at Eastern Market.
Yeah.
So
bring them back.
I was like, I need two more cases, man. He's like, come on.
We have a banana story like that.
We put 160 pounds of Bartlett pears went in.
Barry and I went banana
dried pears.
I bet you have.
So I
really gotta rephrase that, dude.
So I found dry pears that didn't have, they were just dried pears. There was no added sugar, no sulfur dioxide or anything added to them. And it took a little bit of the mead with them, which was unfortunate. We don't have a press or anything. But it was worth it because I feel like the flavor is deeper from it. And I feel like this one's going to age well because the spices tend to be a little overwhelming. Like, you don't want to underspice it because it won't age well. But you don't want to overspice it because you want it to drink well now.
Well, Paul, we just got to open that one now because you've really spent the longest time explaining that one than any of the other ones. So we got to give that one a taste.
I feel like at this point.
Yeah.
All right, so is this a good one to top it off with here, the poached pear?
I think any of them are. I stand by all the stuff we make.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all these sitting on the table that are not open yet, I mean, this is my favorite, but that's just because it's like probably.
That's the one I was manhandling earlier.
This is one I worked really hard on too. So, I mean. Out of the two, I think this one drinks a little bit better, personally.
And which one is that?
This is the black. This is a black and red raspberry mead, which is a really popular flavor profile.
You know what? If I saw those two labels,
also made with raspberry
two labels on a shelf, I would pick the black and raspberry mead.
But I honestly believe
I'm not a pear guy.
They make one called 3-2-1 jam.
We talked about
this, and that one tastes like Yeji to me, but a better version of Yeji.
Really? So should we do a comparison? There's a bottle of Yeji.
There is a bottle of Yeji.
We don't have the 3-2-1 less jam here.
There is a bottle of Yeji in the building.
And I explained it to my parents. I'm like, you're gonna like this. It's like a better Yeji.
Oh, they're like, oh, okay.
And my mom was all over it. So Christmas, sitting there sipping on it. Christmas Eve.
I think these fruited meads like really have a lot of like common ground with a lot of other beverages. So you get
with some brandies. Yeah. You know, that's kind of what I was thinking of.
Yeah. I even had like we did a barrel aged mead one time. Here, you want to cork it? Or which one are we doing? The pear or that one?
That one in your in Mike's hand. Yeah.
Okay, the burst and bloom.
Let's try it.
The cool thing, like we did a barrel aged mead at Benectar one time, and someone told me it tasted like a Sauternes, which I thought was a really good compliment.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
I have a bottle of Sauternes from my grandparents' wedding.
Mm.
I still have
it's probably amazing.
It's still got all the stamps on it. I got the
really?
two bottles that were the table wine at my grandparents' wedding right after World War II, and I have those bottles. Yes.
That's brilliant.
Yes. Very, pretty cool.
So, fellas, we're opening up all these bottles. Do we have to finish all these bottles?
I don't think
tonight?
So. We can each take a bottle, cork it, take it home, share it with the wife.
Very happy to leave. You can leave them here and
if you want to finish
them later.
You know,
I gotta drive.
I'm not gonna run away.
So apparently I am. It is movie night in Mr. Flanagan's class tomorrow.
Gotta love it when the AV kid rolls in the old laser disc player, right?
You gotta roll the.
It's a little bit different when we were kids. They used to have to bring in the big giant projector. Thing, but you know, it's like,
yeah. You turn it. Beep.
So all right, burst so this is the, and bloom.
Burst and bloom.
And then you said, "Well, this is your favorite."
It's the favorite meat I've made, and I mean, it probably is my favorite meat I've ever made, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And what makes it your favorite?
It's just, it hit all the things I wanted. Like, I mean, it's hard to do.
Okay. It's got that base, it has the same base aroma.
I get blueberry, like, because we've been drinking a lot of stuff that has blueberries.
Yeah, I mean,
that's my palate, or?
So black raspberries are, like, somewhere between red raspberries and blackberries.
Okay.
But they're different. You can't get the flavor from anything but a black raspberry. And they're really hard to get. And I'm not really sure why. But we found some. So
that is
so
that
can
is,
you do it again?
This is
so,
just
that's tasty.
This is fucking lovely.
There it is.
I get that reaction a lot. This is a really good mead. Yeah.
That is tasty. That is really tasty.
It's also the sweetest mead I've ever made.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
Meat, I don't make.
We've been drinking
meats.
A lot of sweet.
I but you got to understand.
I'm not getting a lot of sweet. Off
I don't make
I'm
sweet.
The, I'm the sweet meat guy.
All right, yeah.
I don't. These I guys don't, are like, are you sure you want to go that?
Yeah. I like my pancreas. I don't go for real big.
Michael
sweet,
sweet
meats
Spears.
Yeah.
That's what they call them.
I like them. I like them. You know, this is about as sweet as I go. And you had to. I mean, this is the acidity here needed it.
You have to balance it.
Yeah. You know, same with the parallax. That needed to be sweet because it's, you know.
And these are black currants, which are.
Yeah, they're very tart.
Which are tart AF, as the kids say. And then.
Well, they're tart as fuck. You can say that.
Well, I can say that.
Which is my jam.
I'm a teacher.
I hunt down tart beers. I look for tart sours. I like the tart flavoring. That's
so
why I love that red sangria.
Yeah. This one
right
actually
amount of tart,
has
you know?
the
tart cherries. That's my jam. I love that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. This one has the most residual sugar out of all our meads that we've made.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste the sweetest because of all the black currants. We also aged it on cacao nibs, which kind of gives a little earthiness and mellows. It really just ties everything together.
You were saying tart, and this one right here on the back end, the tartness and the dryness kind of hangs around.
This meat is
going to
age
does.
Really well. This meat will age 10 years easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's 100%. See, that's interesting. That's it's a different mindset from the others. It's you know, the bourbon is just like you know you drink once it's bottled, that's it, you drink it. But these are you may want to hang on to and age for a little bit.
And
that's,
they do change. Yeah, they change considerably.
I can see this aging really well.
It does. The tannin content, the acidity, the sugar content. I mean, it's going to age really well. There's just no doubt about it.
Yeah, and you want to talk, spirits. I had a glass of this a few weeks ago, and I put a shot of really nice high-end rum in it.
Nice, yeah.
It was delightful.
So unlike the beer snobs that make their craft beer, you're not opposed to mixing your products with the things.
No. We always tell people, drink it the way you enjoy it.
Right? And that is exactly what
heard
I've
that a number of times.
I've told that to people at
for
beer festivals.
Everything.
Yes,
like, I said, literally.
Like, if you like it with this splash of cherry rhubarb seltzer in it, then if it's better to you, then if you'd like that for your stouts, do it.
These meads are really good to mix with that kind of thing because if you want something just bubbly and like cut down the sweetness, it's a good way to do it.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, definitely. You could mix this with Prosecco.
And actually, Mike here is the king of mead cocktails, by the way.
Is he now?
At our we've done mead cocktails on National Mead Day, which is the first Saturday in August. We usually do a big release. And
you're welcome.
One of the things... Somebody had to be first in there, right?
Yep.
Is the Rock
That's
in
here? That's the name of my porno.
But anyways, so we did mead cocktails. We had a chocolate mead that we made, and I was making mudslides with it. We've done We had the Lilikoi, the passion fruit mead. I was making frozen daiquiris out of that.
I think this is something we should put on the calendar, gentlemen, as where we should be live podcasting from.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, mead day. Mark it on your calendar for Saturday.
Mead day.
First Saturday of August. Yeah. All right.
Big deal.
All right.
It's a fun day.
Which is going to be an awful day for me because the election's always the first Tuesday in August, and I have to work that whole day, Barry.
That's your fault. That is your fault.
Hey, someone has to keep this stuff
You're right. You're
right. The ballots don't stuff themselves, man.
That's right.
I think at least Barry feels a headache coming on already.
Mm. Yeah, I have thoroughly enjoyed having my mind changed. Based on when we started this evening, on what my thought of mead was to where we are now.
Thought we were going to show up with big helmets with horns.
Horns on them.
Which the Vikings actually did not wear.
I remember getting mead at the Renaissance Festival 15 years ago, and it tastes like white wine with Sprite in it. That's what I thought mead was supposed to be.
And it was probably what it was. And you have thoroughly changed my mind as to what mead really is. I almost said weed. Yeah.
I mean, we can make it a modern beverage. You can make it, kind of the way that people have it in their head. But you can make it a really fine modern beverage. And I mean, we're really in an age right now where there's a lot of it out in the market now.
Yeah.
Really good mead makers now. I mean, when we first started Bee Nectar, there was really nothing. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I mean, there's a lot.
Do you do cocktails with these at all?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of cocktails? What do you?
Mike was just touching on a couple of them, but one of my favorites that he made was actually made with the Sizer, which is an apple honey wine.
Yeah.
Sizer
is a mule.
Right, okay.
And I never had the combination of like a mule, like ginger and all that, with apple. And I thought, this is amazing. It just was so good.
Okay.
Yeah. He had his doubts too.
I did.
Right.
Why are you messing with my stuff, man?
That apple mead was, first of all, that
was our first national gold medal that we ever won. And, that was one of the apologies. We all work on the meads together, but we each, this is the whole triaxial thing, like the Blue Note, that was Barry's, right? Everybody's pitching in on it, but that's Barry's recipe.
Funky, funky.
That was his baby, right? The Parallax was mine, poached and the triple raspberry, those were Paul's. Hmm. So yeah, Paul was a little shaky and he's like, you're going to do what with the apple mead? I don't know if you ever had a cider mule.
What are you doing with my baby?
I was out in Vermont. My wife and I were out in Vermont, and one thing I noticed, and I had one, is that everybody out, hard cider is huge out there, and everybody's making these Moscow mules with hard cider, and they were delicious. So I was like, yeah, okay, here we go. and I made one at home, and I'm like, oh fuck yes,
it's so good.
We've done cocktails. Another thing I just want to mention in terms of, especially if anybody's out there listening, who's sort of in your
nobody's
boat
listening,
where you didn't know
but,
a lot
you know,
about
yeah, yeah. folks are listening. Just
they're
so you know.
Still there.
But I mean, anybody who's like maybe a mead novice is what I mean.
Fair
you
enough.
Know, we're talking about our 14% meads. We also make what they call session meads. Mm-hmm. We make meads. We sell them on draft at our releases. They are 6% alcohol, light. They're highly carbonated, nice and light.
Oh.
They drink a lot like the white sangria, but with really fun, funky flavors. We've done a margarita mead. That's a very classic, going back to the early homebrew days.
Are these bottled or they canned?
They're not either.
They're draft.
They're just draft.
Oh, draft. Yeah. Oh,
we're probably
going to the releases. Going to the releases.
We're
going to
make those under this brand.
Even better on draft.
We do want to release those as a packaged commodity, but we're probably going to do it under the Vivid Grove brand. We want to leave triaxial as like the higher end bottled.
But those meads exist out there. You can find them in stores. Bee Nectar makes some really good ones, and there are some other ones out there as well. And then there are meads, you'll find meads that are somewhere in the middle. You'll find 8%, 9%, a little lighter in body, maybe not so bold in flavors as like maybe what you're drinking tonight. But mead is not, what you're drinking tonight is sort of our take on, more classic meads. But if you're out there looking to explore mead, go to a store like Holiday Market, go to Zatuna's, if you're out in Grand Rapids, Horrocks.
Right? Support local.
There's a lot of, when
and
you go
you'll
into.
Find meads. There are meads in the west side of the state and the north part of the state. They're all out there. Try them, and you'll be shocked at the wide range of, mouthfeels, flavors, alcohol contents, carbonation levels.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put it in one silo.
Yeah, sure. My mind has been changed.
How many different expressions do you have at it, like current? How many different expressions do you keep
in like stock current. Right now. I think we have eight, but some of them are almost sold out. Like the next time we're open, which I wanted to come up with a date today for this podcast,
sure,
but
sure.
We didn't get around to it.
It's all right.
But we're going to be open in February, one of the Saturdays. So look, keep in touch on our Facebook page or right. sign up for our newsletter. But
that's triaxialmead.com.
Meads.
M-E-A-D-S.
Smiths. Is it on the Facebook? Isn't that Smiths?
No, it's probably Triaxial Mead Smiths on Facebook,
yeah,
but the actual website is triaxialmeads.com.
Okay. All right.
With an
and you can Google it. It'll come up. Yeah. Just Google Triaxial. If you Google Triaxial Mead, what will be the result?
All fair enough.
We're selling out of some stuff, but I mean, you know, because I mean, we're doing actually really well in the retailers. I was kind of curious because, you know, mead doesn't move very quickly at retailers.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm getting reorders, so I mean, it's good. It's good.
But with these, it's like natural products, right? And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, these blueberry bees in this blueberry field, it's like, oh crap. It was a crappy blueberry year. We can't do blueberry this year. So do you run into these, natural ebbs and tides? Yep. And
we see what's out there and say, what can we make with it?
Okay, you know. Right on.
Huh. Yeah, 2012 was a notoriously bad year for apples, cherries, and honey in Michigan.
All right,
let's give you an example of that was pretty much actually like Armageddon as far as that's concerned. There was no apples, there was no cherries, and there was really no honey because there was no,
Is that the year they had the early March, the March?
It was like 90 degrees in March.
Froze again. Yes.
The bees were out, like trying to pollinate. There was nothing to pollinate, and all of a sudden it bloomed, and then there was no bees, and then all the trees actually.
Then they had
died.
A snow day.
That's like me at Hamtramck Fest. I'm out trying to pollinate. There's just nothing.
Oh
to,
man,
what? All right.
You were blown.
Thank you guys for coming all the way to Southfield.
Overshare.
Mike drove like a whole
I put it in
miles.
Google Maps. Yeah. I knew where it was. Just kind of looked earlier, but it was like, six minutes. I live 2.5 miles from
that.
Here,
is so. Right on.
Yeah. Shooting I live in Clarkson. Blanks. Gary lives up in Rochester. So.
No, but triaxialmeads.com, and all the links will be in the descriptions of the videos and the audios. And
awesome,
gentlemen, thank you.
Honestly,
thanks for having us.
Appreciate it
so much. I've enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah, August, these guys are much nicer than you said.
Yeah, no shit. What the hell?
They're also a lot nicer than I told you they'd be.
So. I was expecting a throwdown, man, but here we are.
No, I knew this was going to work out well.
All right, so here we go, gentlemen. We'll do it, I want to do it again when you new variation. And new expressions. We'd love to have you back.
We'd love to be back.
Yeah, we'd love to raid one of your summer releases and set up shop in the parking lot there. And
you can do live. Or,
just
you know,
tip a few
or
at the August celebration. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers. Clink. Paul, Mike, Barry, thank you guys so much for coming out.
Thank you.
Joining us here in the Man Cave on a Thursday night.
Woohoo. See you, fellas.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.